Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11. Tower clear.
Roger.
Time portals, jumps to Mars. This is ET First Contact Radio with a very special interview with William Stillings. And William Stillings and myself, Martin Horst, we will shed as much as time and energy and talks to this subject as we need to cover all of it. Welcome to the show, William.
Thank you, Martin. I'm truly, truly honored to be here today. How are you?
Yes, and I'm good. I have a little headache because I eat Chinese this evening, and they put it full of chemicals. It's not really healthy food. Anyway, I'm still alive and rocking and ready to hear more thrilling information from you, what happened between 1980 and 1984, and what you did there. And last week you sent us some interesting YouTube videos where you could really see a jump room. And then I thought, this is really getting interesting. And then we decided to do a few more interviews to cover more of this story.
Yeah, You're referring to the teleporter video of the 30-second video that shows a time travel equipped teleporter and going through it. Yeah, that's
My guts tell me this is not fake.
No, this is not fake. I believe I also sent you a link for the about the blog. I wrote a blog back in 2007 about the Fukushima disaster that occurred 4 years later. And,
yes, in Japan. Yeah, you did that with remote viewing?
No, I didn't. No, I was physically forwarded 4 years future and wrote about what I saw in the paper. And the paper was speaking of the event that had already been about 2 or 3 weeks old. That's just a it's just a piece. Very, very busy, Martin. A pilot has on True TV with Carrie Cassidy and Bill. Oh boy,
Bill Ryan.
Ryan. Thank you. Yes. The pilot has just aired last night and very much covers the Mars colonization program and the Mars cover-up, Shadow Operations, was the pilot. As you know, Bill Ryan and Carrie Cassidy of Project Camelot. I need to say that I knew that they would cover it after the elections. Big surprise.
Oh, yes.
I said this about 8 months ago. And you know, a little bit of politics there, but put aside for today. And you know, incredible pilot, very, very well done, very professional. True TV needs to pick up this show. They really do. And if I could urge the listeners to call 800 number, please call True TV at 800-268-7856 and urge that Shadow Operations becomes a new series. True TV would be seriously self-deficient to not pick up that show, self-impeding in every way. Andrew Bishago talked about having teleported to Mars. We've teleported to Mars together. We're all part of the Mars colonization program. Going back to classroom 1980, college.
Yeah, that's what we covered last week.
Yeah, yes, the College of the Siskiyous, Ed Ames.
We spoke about Ed Ames and his series, his class that he's teaching with remote viewing.
Yes. Oh, I would like to claim myself as a remote viewer. But I just could not configure myself with everything that I was doing growing up. I just I could do it, but I never really felt that I would, you know, later on as I would feel that people could do it better. And there are some things in place to where, you know, I was limited as to what I could do. But True TV and Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory is back on the air. As Tyrell Ventura going out in the field with Jesse Ventura, who is traveling a little bit more, and Sean Stone. Sean Stone, as you know, is son of Oliver Stone, that movie guy. Mm-hmm. Tyrell and Sean were the ones that interviewed me for the Mars colonization program, or for the teleportation. They've also been shown that video quite a long time ago, a year ago, or when we did the filming. And you know, we're shown the quite a bit more things than you know. You know, we'll see how it goes. You know, I have a lot of good faith in you know, and the people, albeit a little late, but nonetheless, intentions always, you know.
I can see that things things are really getting rolling now. Things are getting out of the way. We
yes.
can see a real change now.
Yeah, we're making some headway. I'm getting a few more helicopters and activity than I've gotten previously.
Mm-hmm.
All very interesting. Very interesting.
Yes.
Where shall we start off at?
Well, my greatest hope and concern is that disclosure will happen, full ET UFO disclosure will happen before the end of the year. Do you see that happen? What is needed for this to happen? What can we do?
Well, doing it. We're doing now. I mean, round vehicles, you know, most black aircraft have gravity generators in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, except for the ones that are, you know, even some of the ones recently that have been sold to other countries for that pricey price get sold. You know, I was kind of shocked at, you know, back a while back, you know, other countries through military departments and stuff, or military. Or the, you know, the side departments wouldn't get that kind of technology. You know, it was, you know, always that shadow government or that, that would be doing that. That would, you know, that really that other countries and they would have to be a little toned down and not obvious and go through steps to, you know, it's just one big, it's just one, you know, one big multitude of, from our hands, basically.
Yeah, you can see that things that are happening to the earth changes right now. You know, with the earthquakes and the increase of earthquakes, increase of weather patterns, and all this kind of stuff.
Your audio is really broken. If I guess your audio is coming in a little broken.
My audio?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me check.
There we go. That's clearer.
It's better right now?
Yeah. If you adjust the auto level thing, that
yeah,
might.
Yeah, I see that. It's manual. Right. Okay.
All right.
So what I was saying is that the changes, your changes are increasing, you know, increase of earthquakes, solar flares, and weather patterns. It's really getting exciting right now.
Right, yeah, so we're getting some different weather and cloud layer on days, really, that you just kind of naturally know there shouldn't be cloud layers. Almost like they're trying to hide the night sky.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you want to talk a bit about the early 1980s when you had those classes and that you were part of the colonization program to Mars?
Oh, yes. Teleporting up to Mars to the jump room. Remember, one of the times that I went after the Mars training course class at College of the Siskiyous, that was with Andrew Bishago, Barry Satora, who's a current acting president of the United States. Dean Dugan, who's a head of now over at Google. Willie McCool, he passed away in the shuttle disaster, the Columbia shuttle reentry disaster. As you know,
mm-hmm.
And a few others, Bernie Mendez, he was basically security, basically. He was one of the people that was introduced in the class that we were specifically told that we weren't to share anything that we talk about or anything. And it was a very limited conversation. It was, you know, I was... always, you know, comfortable and happy of saying hello and stuff and that, you know, talk about school activities, you know, regular school, you know, stuff along those lines. But going down to 999 North Sepulveda Boulevard in El Segundo, there was a, I got picked up from school one day. We left about a half hour before school got out. Did a few things and went down to North Sepulveda. And I walked into the building. At the time, there was no steps that went up to the elevator. That was about a year later. I guess they revamped it or something. But they raised the elevator up the door quite a bit. But, you know, when it got in the elevator, passed by a security guy. He said that... says, "Oh, you want to go to the fourth floor?" I go fourth. He goes fifth. You want to go fifth floor? And I go, got it. I said, "Is there a room?" He goes, "It'll be right there. You can't miss it." And you know, I got in the elevator. I stopped off at third floor. Somebody, said, they said, are you going? And I said, yeah. They could have gotten on the elevator. I wasn't going to use it right then. And, you know, I'm still in the elevator. And I got off at fifth floor, and there was, you know, it opens up in a big room. And that was, you know, had one person standing behind the counter, which is a very elongated counter. And I signed it. I signed my name. I put down my Social Security date of birth. I believe the day's date. Some very much like something like that. I remember the names on it. I very much remember seeing Courtney. And the thing was that he didn't Courtney. He actually when you filled out your name, you're to fill it out in its entirety. And and that was very important. Courtney Hunt actually signed it Court. He did. Interesting. I mean, you know, when I saw it on paper, it said Court. It did not say Courtney. And I remember that. And there was a name below that. And I'm almost certain it was Andrew Bishago. And I'm almost certain it was Andy. And there was a name at the top of the paper. Anyways, very specifically, I got on the elevator. The guy from the counter said, this man, he came over and he said, you have to step out a minute. And I stepped out and he reached around with a key and turned the key and said, do you know what to do? I said, yeah, top button and right. And he goes, right. He says, I said, do I do that now? He says, no, wait until I get behind the desk and wait for the doors to close. And I got in. Then doors closed and I did that. And if there was an intercom, I think there might have been some intercom talk and indicating to go. And about 2-3 minutes go by, about 3 minutes, and the elevator starts moving. You hear a clunk. It stops. You kind of felt like it moved, like you went kind of like front to back, sideways movement. And right before it stopped, you got a real huge blast of air from the fan, you know, above the elevator. And that lasted for about 15 seconds or so. And there was about another minute or so pause, and it traversed. Actually, it was about half a second. I mean, half a minute. And then it after it went sideways, it went up again, and that was the that was sending you on your way. About, I'd say about a minute or so after that, the room started distorting. Like looking down, I'm looking at, basically at my feet, and you know, I could feel what was there, and I'm sure I don't remember the thought, but I'm sure I might have been a little freaked out about my feet not moving at the time, and you know, because usually when you feel that or hear that sound, or feel that kind of, it's not really a real sound, but it is. It's you know, when you hear that hum, you kind of naturally want to, you know, run, you jog, you know, you're running through a field. And in all my training, it was, you know, you have to exceed faster than 1 meter per second and without fail. Otherwise, I mean, if you're jogging through the field, you know, a slow jog or a jog through the field, and you threw your arms back, like in the act of running, you know, oscillating them back and forward, if that total sum is less than 1 meter per second, you don't have your hands on the end of the trip. And that's really bad. I mean, that's a really bad accidental thing. That's just, that was the hazards of it. You know, that was the hazards of the, you know, I'm sure people are enjoying just very easy technology, but that was very basic technology in the day. The floor started to, you know, as Andrew Bishago has said, that the elevator turns into a cylinder, and it very much does turn into a cylinder. You can't see out. You can't, you know, above, you can't see your destination coming. It's not like, you know, with that equipment, it's not like that. It's, you're shielded, so you can't see through or see out where you're going. You know, it'd be really freaking neat if you could, but you just can't. You know, the walls became kind of a bluish pinkish swirl, and one very distinctive thing that I very much remember is that the door stopped being the door. The door was no longer in front for the elevator. It was just all uniform. And one thing about the floor beneath you, you no longer saw a floor. You just, you could feel it. You're on top of it. You just couldn't really discern anything beneath you. And it was, you know, when I saw that, I just kind of turned sideways, you know, to where the swirl was. And right about that point, you start kind of getting a little disoriented, and you can lose balance. And that was when I found out and learned that it was all right to touch the inside of the wall of the teleporter when you're teleporting, because I, you know, inadvertently bounced off it with my left hand to keep from falling over. And it was pretty much cause and effect that I knew, you know, things that you learn, that the technology, the physics behind it and stuff, and that, you know, from cause and effect. And
yeah, what happens? What do you feel when you get into the teleport, into that arch? When you approach that arch, what happens when you are standing right inside beneath that arch?
Right. This wasn't an arch inside the elevator, El Segundo. This was just the elevator itself was the teleporter. Going through like the arch or the humming wall was just that. I mean, it, you know, about a quarter second, half a second, three quarters of a second. You know, talking about Mars, this 18-minute trip to Mars was 18 minutes of going through this, which was great. I absolutely loved it. No regrets. 18 minutes. And, but, you know, doing those...
What happens during those 18 minutes? What do you see? What do you experience?
Well, just that, you know, the pink, kind of pinkish, bluish, kind of a purplish swirl. I mean, you just get those kind of colors, which, you know, which are, you know, technically, I guess, be both near and far, but, you're in a field, and you're being converted into a wave, or more into a wave. You know, everybody in the computer, the wall in front of you is a wave. That material, those atoms are a wave. You know, they are, you know, they're quite literally an over-unity device. You know, every atom, you know, or every atom is basically a working over-unity device. And is a wave, and as consciousness, as a fixed and observable universe, we make matter real, and matter is also made more or less real through a time, you know, via time domain, energy to mass, and you know, as everything is a wave, light is all wave, nothing particle about it. You know, there are particles, but light is not a particle. It's a wave. It has mass because it's tied to a time domain.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but going there, I mean, you just know you are going to teleport. I mean, you know you're going whether you want to or not at that point. You know, when you go, when you say go, and that device, you know, you're put into a wave form. I mean, you're going. You very much have to be a little, quite a bit more spiritually elevated, or in front, or kind of flexible.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know, any it's. It's very, you know, very important. There had been a lot of, you know, I've had quarter second teleport up to that point, half second. I think half a second was my longest duration of teleporting up till that time.
It's really,
you know,
amazing.
This is like going 800, 900 miles away out in the desert from Silma and from San Fernando. And I honestly don't know if it was L.A. or Pasadena or where it was, but there was a early 1979 jump or 78, and honestly, I've had a few personal friends ask me, and I still can't remember. I have no clue. I didn't drive. You know, come on, people. I was 13 years old. I have no clue where I was at. And really, some places I've had to withhold because. I just can't disclose so much, you know, for as much as we have disclosed, there's some things I do have to hold back, and that's just fact, and people just have to live with
it. Yes, I understand. Now, I'm just wondering, who invented this technology, or did they back engineer it from the Grace?
Well, they back engineered it from Tesla. Tesla, Gray technology, round vehicle technology, recovered round vehicles, recovered time travel equipped round vehicles, maybe even some, you know, I doubt it, but maybe, you know, just interaction, you know, I'm sure agency or whatever have even observed the Gray's truly instant teleportation equipped round vehicles. And those are very interesting. Very interesting.
You know,
I mean,
if you see, yeah. No, go ahead.
No, it's auto correcting time it's phenomenal. I mean, to go from here to the edge of the galaxy, true, like near instantly, like virtually instantly. Is amazing. I mean, traveling.
If you realize that they could do this in the beginning of the 1980s, at the end of the 70s, the late 70s, where do we stand now?
Where do we stand?
Where
Martin?
Are we?
Oh, that's a good question, and I think people should be asking themselves that question, especially those people that voted for Barry Satoro. You know, for another term, especially after banker bailouts. I mean, where are those people mentally? Where are those mm-hmm. people? You see, you know, you're not American, so you're basically not an idiot. Sorry.
Well, Most of my guests, are American. You know, I think the show would be not so interesting if there were no Americans to interview about those projects, because America is a great nation, and they have accomplished a lot of things. But the thing is that the mainstream media in the United States is trying to make idiots of the public. But the same thing is happening in the Netherlands. The same thing is happening over here. That's why we have BBS Radio. That's why we have this radio show.
Yes.
To make people aware.
A majority of the people need to wake up, and a majority of them are great. A lot of them are great. There are some idiots. You know, there is, you know, they need to be aware of the fixed voting. You know, try to make them aware. You know, the rigged ballots, rigged electronic voting. You know, and I'm really referring to the people that, who should we vote for? Satoru, Abomination, or our money, Romney? It's like, it's a no-brainer. Neither of them. They are both criminals. And one is very criminally lazy that will try to take the easiest way out of possible, which is screwing you over, people. It's like, whatever. You know, if people don't want to count, you know, they're declaring Abomination winner one day after the ballots, especially after catastrophes back east. And you know, that's a little flagrant, irresponsible, somebody desperate to party ass, piss on everyone mentality. And it really is. I mean, this has to be said, Martin. This really has to be said. People are irresponsibly turning a blind eye in places they shouldn't. You know, when it comes to politics like that, or the politicians. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
I think the idea that some politicians are even not human, they are holograms. They are projected imagery. Something like this. There's something going on. I have mentioned it before. There's something going on with holograms. What can you tell me about holograms?
Well, you know, doing a gravity bending or hologram, you know, there may be a few grays that you know, and thank God, the grays are very sensible. You know, you have some holograms during the 2012 period. Gravity generators and stuff that fail or will, you know, tend to fail during the 2012 period, you know, 10 different energies and stuff and our energies coming in, simulated unifications, you know, whatever, radar, whatever. You know, and during the 2012 period, those over unity devices, have a tendency to kind of, you know, fall off a little bit, and then they come back on, and you know, they tend you know, round vehicles would have more of a tendency of dropping out of the sky during this period than really any other, you know, unless the military has their radar weaponized.
I have another question. Will there be some? I mean, can we expect some help from positive, benevolent ETs to interfere in our Earth matters to make things right and to free humanity from the strain that's on them?
Yeah, please. We have some ways. You know, there are a lot of ways actively in decision making, and more. And as very welcomed, you know, I love to invite more invited. You know, it's very, very much needed. You know, for what's gone forward, you know, I'm sure the general public can more or less realize that it's not the them worrying about $4 or $5 a gallon on the gas or the food prices at the grocery store that really in implemented a lot of these this technology into effect and made availability of other factors in their daily decision making.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
if you can see if you can see beyond the limitations and all the, you know, let's say trivial things, if you see beyond that and see the really important things that, in fact, we are experiencing a information war, war on information between war or against the disinformation that the mainstream media is trying to bring us.
Yeah.
Television.
And some of it's good, some of it isn't. Fox News, not good. The general media and people being able to just get on and live their lives and have a normal life, good. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference there. There's a difference of intention. There's a difference of cause and effect. There is mm-hmm. a difference. There's a very specific difference of somebody who's an illegal immigrant or at least disqualified from being president of the United States, just based on that they've had a name change and hadn't notified the public, especially for when applying for a certain job. That's irresponsible. More irresponsible is the fact that he was even allowed to be put on the ballot. That the people are not exempt from, you know, and you know, pulled out of office. You know, all I can say is that the people will be enslaved again. And when they hear the little lines, "Oh, don't worry, we won't hurt you. We just want to do this." You know, and that comes from the it. So I might use something close to the same lines, but not that. You know, there's little things that, you know, they'll be enslaved once again, and they'll give up their sovereignty, as about 3/4 of the people so far, right up to just a couple weeks ago, right before the election. You know, a lot of it's very disturbing. A lot of it's, you know, and if this sounds crazy to people, then great. People, you're happy. You all are happy with no problems whatsoever and have no complaints in the world. So, you know, that's, you know, people kind of want to know where I stand with that. That's where I stand. If I'm crazy, they have no complaints. And I'm sure they can do better than me.
Well, you know, William, I have the idea that something very advanced is going on in the U.S. politics, but even in the you see the same thing happening in the Dutch politics. But I think something very advanced, like a matrix, it's a matrix where we are living in, and with lies from politics and media. But my question is, how do we break this? How do we stop this matrix and get real?
I don't know.
Get reality.
I don't know. That's all a very individual thing, and that's up to the individual to do.
Yeah, but it's also collective.
Sure, but it's also very individual, and and they very much other people. Honestly, I wouldn't know, but I'm sure somebody out there does, and if that's what they intend to do or want to do, some matrixes are good. You know, it's there's underground facilities and reptilians. You know, some really very emotionally uncomfortable locations underground, but do you want to live there? I mean, you know, is that their matrix or whatever? You know, whatever that term or phrase is, you know, that's for the individual to decide. As far as limiting, or at least, you know, as far as developing people's lives is be aware of teleportation. It's been around for 40 years at least. And, you know, be aware that, that there's, you know, very simplistic over unity devices that can run a household. You know, it's it's convenient to be on city power or whatever, and that, you know, that, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's, yeah, it's quite a bit more expensive, but it's also actually very welcomed or liked even by round vehicles. I mean, round vehicles come by, they inductively grab a free electron.
Yeah, it would be nice if all this technology would be ready to be distributed over the planet so that all of us can use it.
10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11. Tower clear.
Welcome back to ET First Contact Radio. I just love that music. It's from a German synthesizer artist called Peter Merziner. And the song is called Icarus Flight, and it's from the album Take Off. So let's take off, William.
I think I just took off. of all the things I should have, it is at least a very simplistic fan motor with magnets around as a example of over-unity. And the power went out, and I took the backup power supply and inverter off the router to use it for something else, and we just had a power outage.
Oh, right. Okay.
which is where, you know, I'm not running anything very impressive except for a new laptop battery that I'm building. So
I have understood that you are quite technical, that you're quite an engineer.
Yeah, to some degree. Some degree.
Yeah, there's wonderful.
I do like to build stuff. I do like to put things together and build stuff for sure.
Mm. Yeah, me too. A friend of mine. I just use a Logitech microphone now, but I used to have two condenser microphones for my radio setup with a mixing console. But the power burned out, and a friend of mine is replacing some transistors now to get it back on.
Yeah. It's a lot of people are very makeshift right now. I'm very makeshift right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not the greatest frickin' time.
Yeah, well, when I was 12 years old, I used to repair CD players and videotape recorders and televisions. And yeah, I found it out myself how these electronic circuitries work.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Very much the same here. It is great. It's an awesome way of doing things.
Yeah, when I saw that video of this time portal.
Radio Shack was our best friend growing up.
Yeah, Radio Shack and Tandy.
Oh, yes, Tandy. Absolutely.
When I saw that video you sent me, when you see this time portal, I hear kind of coils. I hear a very strong electromagnetic field. What kind of generator is it? What is it doing?
Well, it's a gravity generator. A Tesla technology. It's if you were a sound person, that buzzing sound. What does it sound like to you?
Yeah.
I mean, does it sound like the bottom of a round vehicle, but not as bad?
It doesn't. It makes me think about a transformer.
The
higher frequency, it's like a very high voltage.
You definitely have to accelerate and deaccelerate electrons for time travel. I mean, that's one of the regulations in place. The hum is definitely there's multiple in there, but how many hertz would you say that was running at if you had to guesstimate? Maybe about 7-8 hertz.
50 hertz, 50-60 hertz.
All right. Yeah. Go on.
But I hear. In fact, I hear more. I also hear 400 hertz.
Yeah. There's right around in there. There's quite a few different tones going on.
But I also hear very low frequency. At the end, it's like 22 hertz, 25 hertz.
But there's a sub-frequency in there, a subsonic.
Yeah. And I hear also a higher frequency, maybe 12 kilohertz. Something like that, 10 kilohertz, something like that.
Right. Yeah, there are certain indications in that video that it's a teleporter, definitely a teleporter, but there's a very obvious indication, sound and visually, that is a time travel capable teleporter. And it very much so is. I'll tell you that right now. On the other side of the teleporter, there's a very visually there can be, depending on what's done, how it's done, a very long line of light that looks purplish, bluish, pinkish. is not as dense as when on the inside when you're encapsulated or shielded when you have everything pulled around you.
By the way, the sound is also modulated.
That's the effect, but there's also some other things with that footage that's been messed with, but that part has not been messed with. That's some parts of it sounds like they messed with the audio. I don't know how to discern it, but its effect, one's affected the other, but that hum like that was there at the time, so going back from memory, so that's a very real part of it.
So what did you do? Did you take a videotape recorder with you, a camcorder?
Right. We covered this before because of the recent show that aired last night and some other things. I'm going to save that for later on down the road, if you don't mind, Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. What I will say was what I've maintained is that it was a much more newer piece of hardware or than what we were used to in the say the early 90s or 80s. The device was actually a sharper image product from 2008, 5 megapixel 1 gigabyte device. They made it for a very short time. When sharper image went out of business, it was one of the last things they made.
In the early 1980s, they made something with that specifications?
No, not at all. Not at all. That was brought back from somebody doing a forward jump.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. So no. And it was very much a digital camera. It was in the shape of a perfume bottle, elongated, rectangular. The original product was actually plastic. This had been hardened with a very much same looking thing, a metalized layer, but it was heavier than the original manufactured product, and it was basically inductively shielded to be able to be in the field. But let's stop that conversation there and let's go on.
Yeah, we only have a couple of minutes left because there's a show after here, so I think we have to continue next week, my friend.
We are on next week on BBS Radio. Can I give a plug, Martin?
Sure.
Just reiterating, if people want to see the time. Martin, do they check out BBS Radio website for the link? There might be a link for the teleporter video and the. And some other things, little treats. Well, they can go to they can look up Will Azam Edison on YouTube. Watch the time travel video. It's a 30-second video of walking through the teleporter and. At Area 51 and going out to Alice.
Can you repeat your username again?
Oh yeah, Will Azam Edison. If BBC, BBC, BBS. If BBS could upload the image, or
then, you know what I will do? I will, if people go to my archive from this radio transmission and from last week, I will write the YouTube links right underneath the description of the interview on the
archive.
Right.
Well, okay. All right. That sounds good.
Okay.
There's a Project Camelot, or there's a new series on awesome BBS. I have both interviews up. Awesome.
Sure.
Yeah, there's, True TV is coming out with a new pilot series, hopefully, if they're smart. Mm-hmm. And that would be a project I'm just out of it. That'd be Shadow. Oh, God. You have to excuse me here for a minute. Shadow Operations, starring Bill Ryan and Kerry Cassidy. Project Camelot.
And yeah, I followed that, guys. It's very interesting. But unfortunately, we have to give space now to my successor for the next hour on BBS. I want to thank you, Will, and you'll be back next week on the same time, on the same station.
Awesome. See you then, Martin. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, William. I'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.